Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where the tone of recent email correspondence suggests that if this podcast were the prize at the end of the race, people would be learning how to run backwards. Some of our listeners, or at least those who were not permanently glued to the sunny window in a fugue state, may remember that we recently reviewed a 30-second ad for lemonade that managed to shoehorn the brand name in 24 times. Well, brace yourself. We've been contacted again by Ireland's best-selling solo musical artist, and it's safe to say that she's unhappy with the current podcast content, sending us an abuse burger with the lot to get her point across while managing to drop the F-bomb 37 times in just under 3 minutes. Elsewhere in this week's episode, we follow the mind-blowing revelations about how Lexus sourced the leather for their car seats with some less mind-blowing esoterica about mondegreens. What's a mondegreen, I hear you ask? At this stage, I would suggest that you have two options. Option A, look it up on Google and go and have a nice lie down. Or option B, carry on listening and find out why Jimi Hendrix is kissing a guy. So strap in, buckle up, take your meds, brush the crumbs off your onesie, and join me, Steve Cook, and my co-host, award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director, Tony Williams, as we take a look at a telly ad from 1989 that won the Cannes Grand Prix at a canter. If that's not enough for you, we'll hear how I won the lottery of life and got the non-farty chair today, find out which on-screen father and son duo had sex with the same Nazi, and get all nostalgic about Sunday nights at 6 p.m. on Radio 1. So, don't go out tonight. Everything's going to be all right. There's a bathroom on the right. I'm in the non-farting chair again. Feels special. Have you got a farty chair?
No,
a non-farty chair.
Non-farty chair.
Okay. How should we start?
Well, with some housekeeping, actually.
Some housekeeping?
I've had someone point out that we had an incorrect answer in our song quiz. And we both moved on thinking it was correct.
In the song quiz, okay.
There was a...
First of all, can we name and shame? Who is it that thinks that they know better than you do?
Well, no, I think that they are correct because the song, we had to name a Celine Dion song. We both sang a Whitney Houston song.
For I will always love you.
Which is in fact the incorrect song. We should have had the flute in our ears going,
ooh.
That which one, song was
near,
it?
Near, far, wherever.
Oh, okay. So we both got it wrong.
Okay.
And it was pointed out with glee.
Bye.
After she was listening to it in the car on the way home in the podcast. So anyway, there probably are other mistakes, but I thought we might as well point that one out.
Okay, well, we'll have, while we're doing admin then, we'll have, I've been contacted by Enya again.
She hasn't again.
Yeah, my beeper went off and Enya.
Did you send a fax?
My beeper went off and I went straight to the answer machine. Played Enya's message.
And what did she say this time?
She's unhappy about the amount of... well, she's unhappy about two things. She's unhappy about the characterisation of all Irish people as paedophiles. I think she's a bit confused yet, but you know, the whole all Irish priests are paedophiles.
Oh.
But she's also unhappy about the amount of time that Wolf Carla got dedicated to him in the Qantas episode.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, here's a message that she left on the answer phone.
Well, hello again, you two dozy feckers from the Stupid Fucking Advert podcast. This is Enya here, Ireland's best-selling solo musical artist, as you fucking well know by now. First off, not returning my calls is a big mistake for you two fucking charisma vacuums. You really don't want me as a fucking enemy. Let's all be fucking grown-ups now about this, shall we, lads? Numero fucking uno on me growing list of things that you blokes do that fucking shit me off. The fucking lazy labelling of every fucking Catholic priest as a paedophile. As I was saying to Father Murphy, Jean-Claude and John Hegarty in the pub last Friday, talk about you fuck one fucking sheep. It's obvious you two are after cheap fucking laughs. So how's about this, you fucking abattoir creepers? I'll do you the deal. Stick with the Jimmy Savile gags and I'll keep the fucking lawyers at bay, all right? The Brits are out the fucking EU now, so there'll be no more cross-border pedo jokes. Stick to the homegrown stuff, lads, and I'll leave yous alone. Mess with the patties again, and I will fucking fuck your shit up for yous in a major fucking way, I'm telling you now. Number two, how come the German bloke with the melty face gets so much fucking love on the Shite Advert podcast? I noticed that his career's having a serious fucking renaissance after you two fawned all over him in the Shite Advert review, then gave him half of the Qantas show to dribble on about feck all. Me and Tommy Cunts was in the pub on Friday, and we both agreed that fucker's about as fucking interesting as Boris Johnson explaining fucking Bitcoin to your grandma. On a lighter note, Tony, Tommy Conn says to say hello. He's a big fan, apparently. He fucking loved that Toyota Hilux ad he did with all the fucking swearing in it. Anyway, use two fanny repellents, just so we're all clear. No more fucking Paddy the Pedo jokes, and get Tom Cunts on the Shite podcast in place of the fucking melty-faced Nazi gobshite ASAP. Oh, and P.S. I was after bumping into your man, John Hegarty, in the pub on Friday. Jesus, the boy was off his fucking tits again. He does love a pina colada. Anyway, Johnny wants me to pass on a message. He says that you two had a fucking gift that never starts fucking giving, and he was fucking embarrassed to fuck that one of you actually worked for him, and that he was never going to sponsor the Shite podcast, and you should both get to fuck. Anyway, so then, that's me, Enya, Ireland's best-selling solo musical artist, signing off for now. Sail away, you fucking fuckwits.
Oh dear. I would never have thought with all the gentle songs that she made she'd be so aggressive.
She seems to have a lot of pent up anger.
I think she's been hanging around with Sinead O'Connor a bit. I think the pair of them have been shopping on the Saturday. And
but they do say you should never beat your heroes, don't you, or your heroines.
That's true.
Obviously, the public persona that she has is completely different.
I mean, she was rapping like Orinoco's Flow.
Oh, she's, you know, obviously very defensive of Jean-Claude, Tommy Cunts and John Hegarty.
Enya, there you go. Wow. Anger. So much anger.
So much anger.
What was the last song that Enya brought out?
Oh, God, I don't know. Let's not go there because I think if we get it wrong, the...
We might hear from her again.
Her displeasure will be made plain. We're going back to 1989 tones to an ad that you have chosen. 1989 was the year that Lexus was launched, a brand very close to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
1989 was the year that a fatwa was announced by Iran.
Oh,
by
the writer.
Ayatollah Khomeini announced a fatwa on Salman Rushdie.
For writing the book, which apparently wasn't very good.
The Satanic Verses, never read it.
Mm.
Apparently, he said it was blasphemous, and they put a $3 million United States dollars bounty on his head. 32 years later, the fatwa is still in place.
I thought it was lifted.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. In November, the citizens of Germany tore down the Berlin Wall.
Wow.
And Nintendo launched the Game Boy. It was the same year, it was the 100th anniversary of Nintendo. What did Nintendo make before they made the Game Boy?
They made the Super Nintendo.
What, for 100 years before?
Oh, 100 years before?
Apparently it was 100 years old.
That sounded like Biden, didn't it? About something he was talking about since he's been trying to do it for 120 years, since he got into the Senate. I don't know, what they did before?
I've no idea. I couldn't find anything about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Trivia Man.
Well, I thought...
No. You wanted the trivia job. I was told off last week.
I thought I would ask somebody who'd lived in Japan what...
So when you instantly live in Japan, you know karate and what Nintendo did 120 years ago. Sorry, this is passport control. You're only coming in if you can answer these questions.
Right.
Okay, what else have we got in the trivia list?
You've got your period, or what? What's going on?
No.
The first ever standalone episode of The Simpsons was aired.
Oh, is that right? Because you know the show that the original one was in.
It was
the Tracy Ullman show.
Tracy Ullman show. Okay. Tim Berners-Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Do we know who Tim Berners-Lee is?
He invented the internet.
Yep. A software engineer working at the CERN Particle Physics Laboratory in Geneva came up with a way for people all over the world to share information. He gave all the individual bits of information an address, which he called
an IP address. Internet protocol.
A URL.
Oh, URL. Sorry.
Yeah. And he created a language that they would write the information in so everybody could see it. What did he call that language?
HTML.
Hyper.
Text markup language.
There we go. Top 10 movies of the year.
Up two places to level one is.
Batman with Jack Nicholson.
I went to see, I think I've told you this before, I went to see the premiere that it was launched on, I think, November the 13th. I went to see it dressed as a press reporter from the time with a blue hat. Yeah, no, and it was the first movie to have a worldwide release on the same day.
Why normally, did you do that, though?
Because we're big Batman fans.
You're a huge... Okay.
So, there used to be... movies used to launch once in America and then, you know, when the season was right somewhere else. But this is one of the first movies, or the first movie, that launched on the same day around the world.
The second highest grossing movie of 1989 was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, I know!
Starring...
Yeah, I am! The worst was in it. Of course, as a man called, I don't know, Harrison, what?
So Wolf wasn't in that one. Because his face had melted off in the first one. However, Indiana Jones's dad was in this one.
Mm.
Played by...
Sean Connery, if I'm not wrong. I think he was in, Sean Connery. Hello, Indiana Jones. Trust you, shit, you know. I'm in another movie called Mississippi Pish Flaps. So, Sean.
The only bit I can remember about this movie is that Sean Connery and Indiana Jones both shagged the same Nazi in this one.
Oh. Yep. I thought you said I wasn't in it.
And it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
What did you think made my face melt off, guys?
Okay, other high-grossing movies that year. Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Miles per hour. Look Who's Talking, which was... Oh, John, can you remember
John,
anything
yeah,
about
John Travolta and Kirstie Alley. Kirstie Alley is when she was fit.
Far out. But beyond memory. Yeah. Who voiced the baby?
Him with the... Out of, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yes.
Lethal Weapon 2. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That was a good film.
Was it?
Yeah.
Rick Moranis, I think, was in that one. Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid.
Well, I'll pass on that one.
Born on the 4th of July. Starring?
Tom Cruise.
God, blimey.
I've never seen it.
You would be brilliant in a pub quiz, I reckon. You'd be the man to take to a pub quiz. Right. There were 18 number one singles in the UK during 1989. Four of them were either by Kylie Minogue or Jason Donovan.
Oh, especially for you.
And three of them were by Jive Bunny.
Oh, come on, everybody. Oh, come on, everybody. Let's twist again like we did last summer.
How many can you sing?
Oh, that's two.
Okay. Especially for you by Kylie and Jason.
Especially for you. I remember.
Something's Gotten Hold of My Heart by Mark Almond and Gene Pitney.
Something's...
So Gene Pitney originally sang that song, and then Mark Almond got
together. I know Gene Pitney's 24 Hours to Tulsa.
Something's gotten hold of my heart.
But I don't know, yeah.
Belfast Child by Simple Minds.
Yeah, I know. Well, with a Belfast Child. We're not allowed to talk about it. And you said no.
Too many Broken Hearts by Jason Donovan. Go.
Don't know it.
Too many broken hearts in this world. La, la, na, na, na,
na, na, na, na, na. Yeah, maybe.
Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Life is a mystery. Da, 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 da. Mm. Just like a prayer.
Eternal Flame by the Bangles.
Is this burning an eternal flame?
Hand on Your Heart by Kylie Minogue.
Don't know that.
Ferry Cross the Mersey featuring a load of Scousers because it's such a special town, eh?
Ferry Cross the Mersey.
That was Paul McCartney and Jerry Marsden.
Oh, Jerry Marsden, there you go.
Sealed with a Kiss by Jason Donovan.
Oh, I can't remember that one either.
Back to Life, Soul to Soul.
Back to life, back to reality, back to the here and now.
You'll Never Stop Me Loving You by Sonia.
That's Simon Cowell's ex-wife, is it not, Sonia? She sang Boys, Boys, Boys. Don't know it.
Swing the Mood by Jive Bunny.
That's got to be that. Let's twist again. I would hit last summer. They had one. It was a mega mix, wasn't it?
All right. They had three songs in the top 20. The other one, another one was "That's What I Like" by Jive Bunny.
No, no, no.
"Let's Party" by Jive Bunny.
I don't know.
Here's one that I think has survived the test of time. It's by somebody, a band or a person called Black Box.
Oh, yeah. Right on time.
Right on time.
Yeah.
"All Around the World" by Lisa Stansfield.
All around the world now, I've been singing. Yeah. With a nice big flat cap and a little beauty mark.
"You Got It" by New Kids on the Block.
Oh, no clue.
No?
Do they know? I had an STD, but now you got it.
Do they know it's Christmas?
Oh, it's Christmas time. There's no time to be afraid. And there's all the different singers, you know? Yep. Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
A little 1989 trivia. Meanwhile, back in Weatherfield, DJ Barlow finds out that Coronation Street intellectual, wishy-washy Ken Barlow, has been having an affair with his secretary, Wendy Crozier, and throws him out of the marital home.
He's always up for something.
This year, we're going to look at 1989. We're going to look at an ad for Maxell Tapes. Maxell? Maxell Tapes. Who owns the Maxell brand, Tones?
I don't know.
Hitachi.
Oh, do they know?
Yeah. This ad is, what are we calling it? The Israelites? Are we calling it the Israelites? Are we calling it the Israelite? Are we calling it...
I don't know what the original name of it was, but I'm pretty sure it was My Israelite.
So the original song that they used in the advert was The Israelites by...
Don't know.
Desmond Dekker. Okay, let's take a step backwards. The ad was created by Howell Henry Chaldecott Lurie.
What was it now?
Who would go on to be, so this is 1989, HHCL would go on to be named as Agency of the Decade for the 1990s by Campaign Magazine, based on their work for Tango,
Ron Seal,
and Pop Noodle. So that takes us back to, I love you. Look away. The agency was bought by WPP and closed it down in 2007. Seems to be what WPP do, isn't it?
They buy an agency,
they squeeze the pips, and then they close it down.
Wire and paper products.
Really?
That's what it started as, shopping trolleys.
Did not know that. Mm. The art director on this ad was Tim Ashton, and the copywriter was a chap called Naresh Ram Chandani. Apparently, this was the second ad that he worked on after joining it.
Hal
Henry. There are two versions of the ad. One features the song Into the Valley by the Skids. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, before we go on further, do you want to describe the ad? So everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yes, a very funky guy holding a bunch of flashcards, big sort of A3 flashcards in his hands. And as the song plays, he has the lyrics of what he thinks are the lyrics on the cards. So as you hear the song playing, he drops each card, but the words are actually wrong. Hilariously wrong. close, but wrong. But the problem is, you can never listen to that song again and hear the correct lyrics. You'll always hear the wrong ones.
Here's the ad, ripped straight out of the beating heart of the internet. Not the best audio quality, but it fits in quite nicely with the particularly rubbish all-round quality of today's episode, which sound like it was recorded in Tony's toilet and not his kitchen, basically because I got the mic settings wrong. Sorry about that. Wander over to the YouTube channel if you'd like to have a look at the ad. There's a link in the pod notes, as per usual. In the morning, it's sleeping for bread, sir, so that the every mouth can be fed. Oh, Israelite. What on my kids, get fucked up and I leave me. Darling, she said I was the young to be seen.
So when he gets to the main part, the actual song is My Israelites. The boy says, my ears are a light. So enormously huge, that's laughter. That's pretty good. And then it says, to hear, I can't remember what the sign off is. It's to hear perfect or hear the what's correct, use Maxell tapes.
There are two versions of the ad. One was by the Skids, with their song Into the Valley, and the more famous version is Desmond Dekker's 1969 number one hit.
It's so simple.
The Israelites. Occasionally it does come on the radio, or you'll hear it in a shop or something like that, and you're absolutely right. It's impossible to sing the correct words.
Before we go into it, can you name any other songs like that?
Any other
songs that you've misheard lyrics?
No, but I did do a bit of research about this phenomenon. It is a phenomenon which has been named.
Oh, really?
Yep. So the phenomenon of mishearing or misinterpreting words or song lyrics, where the listener substitutes words that sound similar, is called a Mondegreen.
A Mondegreen?
A Mondegreen, which is a term coined by American writer Sylvia Wright in 1954. I did find some famous examples.
Go on, then.
So, okay, do you remember the movie American Werewolf in London?
I do.
What was the famous song in that one?
Oh, I don't know.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Have you ever seen the rain?
Seen what, sorry?
Have you ever seen the rain? I want to know. That one?
No.
What is it?
So, Creedence.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much. Creedence Clearwater Revival, the famous song, the song made famous by American Werewolf in London, was Bad Moon Rising.
Oh, yeah.
End of each verse, they sing. Apparently, this is commonly misheard as "There's a bathroom on the right." How good is that? The other famous one I found is by Jimi Hendrix, but the song "Purple Haze." So, you know, the famous line, or one of the famous lines from the very famous song Purple Haze is, "Excuse me while I kiss the sky." Down, 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 down. Okay. Commonly misheard as, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy."
Right, I thought that's what you just sang.
"Excuse me while I kiss the sky. Excuse me while I kiss this guy." I love this one. The Beatles song "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds." A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Commonly misheard as "The girl with colitis goes by."
Okay.
Final one that I picked up was Nirvana.
Yeah.
"Smells Like Teen Spirit."
Uh huh. I'm so happy.
Here we are now, entertainers. Yeah. Commonly heard as, "Here we are now, hot potatoes." Yes.
Well, I've got some. I remember.
Go.
Billy Ocean. "When the going gets tough." "And the going gets stuffed." The tough. Keep going. That was a classic. And there's some brilliant ones pulled up by, what's his name? Peter Kay. Remember his and his misheard lyrics bird seed? Yes. "I'm begging you for bird seed."
Duffy.
Duffy. That's the one where it's, is it? Someone, "I want to kiss you. Good night." And it's a Shania Twain or something like that. And he talks about, "My burgers are the best." There's a Michael Jackson song.
As per usual, the advertising industry has co-opted it. The most famous version kicking around at the moment.
What did research tell us? Don't tell me. People voted it the most favourite ad.
No. So probably there is a modern version of the idea kicking around at the moment in the UK and Australia, which is for Compare the Market.
Oh, I've seen that.
Which is now Compare the Meerkat.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one with the Russian
Russian
speaking?
Well, yeah, but I don't remember.
Apparently the product or the brand is Compare the Market. Or Compare the Market.
But it still goes to, if you type in Compare the Meerkats, it still takes you to the correct web address.
Yeah, so the gag is that, that instead of reading Compare the Market, you read Compare the Meerkat.
Oh.
It's a bit tenuous.
Mm.
Visually, the ad is very reminiscent of a Bob Dylan video, one of the very earliest music videos.
Bob Dylan, you can't sing.
Do you know what the song is?
No,
look it up, Subterranean Homesick Blues. No, it's magic. It's a great song and it's a really, really good video. This ad won the Cannes Lion Film Grand Prix in 1990.
So it should.
It's not bad for your boy Narish's second ad.
Yeah, yeah. So what the university education can do for you?
It won a pencil at D&AD.
Yeah.
Why do we love this ad, Tones?
We love this ad because it's simple. It has a proposition which is very good, and the message sticks to it. And it sells a product at the end, believe it or not.
Do you know what Maxell's problem was? What drove them to make the ad?
I would say Maxell's problem, well, besides maybe the market being a little bit cluttered, I suppose the new introduction of the new technology introduced by Philips, CDs.
CD-ROMs. What does ROM stand for?
Read-only memory.
You're brilliant. You
what
are.
What does CD stand for then?
compact disc.
Yeah. Compact disc.
Compact disc. Apparently, Maxell had a reputation, you know this, as a DJ. Maxell had the reputation of selling the best cassettes.
Yeah.
Is that true?
They did. They had something about, on all of the tapes, I say all of them, I remember seeing something about metal on them, and they used to sell, the tapes weren't like little plastic, cheapy ones that used to rattle. They used to sell solid cassette tape, you know, because that's when we used to do a lot of dub tapes, right? With tape-to-date recorders, recording the Sunday night charts and what have you. But they did, yeah. They did have a, I'm trying to think about what the product was that was so high-end. But yeah, they were known as the better tape.
So this newfangled technology was coming along though, CD-ROMs, and this was their response. The ad features the first two verses of the Desmond Dekker song.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to sing them to you?
Yes, please.
The original lyrics to this song went like this.
You don't do the voice.
Get up in the morning slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, me. Israelites, do me wife and me kids, they packed up and leave me. Darling, she said I was yours to be steal. For me, Israelite.
Right.
Okay.
Honestly, I thought he was in the room then. I honestly thought it was in the room. I went, Desmond, and I looked up, it was you. It's like, God.
The lyrics that appear in the ad are, get up in the morning, sleeping for bread, sir. Sold out to every monk and beefhead. Oh, oh, me ears are alight. Why find my kids? They book up and I leave me. Darling cheesehead, I was yards too greasy. Oh, oh, me ears are alight.
Brilliant.
Are you going to sing that for me?
No, I think we've worked it out.
I'm going to sing it. Get up in the morning, sleeping for bread, sir. Sold out to every monk and beefhead. Miserable, why find me kids? They broke up and I leave me, darling. She said I was yet too greasy. Miserable.
There you go. Oh, well done.
Thanks very much.
Round
of applause, please.
How the deaf clap.
No, go on.
With the, sorry, you couldn't see actually what I was doing there. You hold your hands up.
This is groundbreaking.
And you're wiggling your little fingers. Like this. Like, it's like a bit like a shimmy.
This is groundbreaking podcast content. Show us again, Tones, how the deaf clap.
Anyway. Shit. Live, you say?
Live from Tony Williams' kitchen.
Well, anyway, I thought we had a camera. I didn't know. Go on.
Okay. It's a nice ad.
It is.
Do you think it was worthy of winning the Grand Prix at Cannes?
It depends what else was going on that year, of course. But there is that, yeah. I do. It is a great ad.
You can see it as a Grand Prix winner?
Yeah. Why not?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I like it that much.
Really?
Mm.
Well, as I said, depends what's going on that year. It was really before the big, big budget ads came in, wasn't it? You know, the PlayStations and what have you. The idea is solid. The proposition.
So apparently, Hal Henry, Chalfont Lurie were getting kind of famous for making really good ads on small budgets.
Mm.
Yeah, so you can see that from a production point of view, there's not a huge amount of money spent on the production.
No, that's why it should be a good. It's because it's a good idea.
Yeah, but the idea is lovely, isn't it?
It's substance
it
really over style.
It is a very, 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 very nice idea.
You know, today you probably get a lot of people saying you couldn't run that. There's too many words on the screen at the same time. Nobody's going to read those.
Which I kind of can see
mm.
in that. Yeah, you know, the research is saying now that people do leave the TV or the screen running through the ads but go and do something else.
Yeah.
Well. So you check your Insta while the ads are on, or you check your Facebook, or you might, I don't know, whatever you do. TikTok book, TikTok and gram or whatever the kids are doing these days. And so, yeah, the actual having stuff that you need to read on screen to get the gag and get the ad, quite novel now.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Who's the target audience?
Anybody that uses cassette tapes. Anybody with ears. It would be middle-aged.
It's quite funny because I remember when I was a kid, I didn't give a shit about what kind of cassettes I made my mixtapes on.
Really?
And I didn't.
She didn't care either, the ones you gave them to.
Yeah, I was recording over the top of my dad's country and western songs.
Really?
When I was recording the top 20 on a Sunday night.
Ferris, I think, is what it was. The good product tapes, I remember. Something High Ferris or something.
Ferris?
Like.
Ferris?
Sure, Ferris.
Ferris
like
is
that.
Kind of iron-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, and you used to get the squelch, you know, when you had the one on pause and you press play, you go, and then, you know, play the song.
And the big deal with the top 20 was always cutting off the recording before the DJ started talking, and they always talked over the end, specifically so that you couldn't record the whole song.
Yeah.
Because they were all twats.
Yeah. Or kiddie ticklers.
Who... I don't think Jimmy Savile ever did the top 20 on a Sunday, did he?
Yeah, and he did under 12s. Never went that high.
See, I'm just laying these up and you're smacking about the park.
I always used to
this
say,
is,
at least
this is just
12.
To fucking keep Enya, stop Enya from calling in and saying that we're...
Well, yeah, he used to go to early, go up to number 12.
Who were the DJs?
Oh, there was, there's Casey Kasem.
Who?
Casey Kasem, the American one.
Really?
Yeah.
Casey Kasem?
Yeah, they used to do an American one. But who was it? They used to do it. Simon, God, tell me.
No, I don't know. I'm asking because your memory for this shit is a lot better.
It was a different one all the time.
Yeah, but there was kind of rotating three or four of them, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like John Peel never did it, for instance, because he was too, you know, subterranean, too underground.
I don't know. I can't even think of now. I've just been down to replace it to number 10. I've still got some on tape somewhere.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Can you find them?
I will.
Here's the rundown of the presenters of the Radio 1 show that aired every Sunday night at 6 p.m. and counted down the UK Top 20 Singles Chart. Coming in at 1967 until 1972, Alan Fluff Freeman. 1972 to 1974, Tom Brown. 1978 to 79, Simon Bates. 1979 to 1982, Tony Blackburn. 82 to 84, Tommy Vance. 84 to 86, Richard Skinner. 86 to 90, Bruno Brooks. 1990 to 1992, Mark Goodyear. 1992 to 95, Bruno Brooks again. 1995 to 2002, Mark Goodyear again. For our junior listeners, presenters since the turn of the millennium have been Wes Butters, JK and Joel, Greg James, Fern Cotton, Reggie Yates, Hugh Stevens, Jamila Jamil, Jason Derulo, Scott Mills, Clara Amfo, Mr. Jam, Jordan North, Sel Spellman, Katie Thistleton, and your current presenter is Scott Mills.
Okay, get up in the morning, sleeping for bread, sir. Sword out to every monk and beefhead.
It's brilliant. So it was simple, as I say, it has a proposition. Who was the market? Anybody who used tapes but saw themselves as, you know, a little bit higher than doing mixtapes with a girlfriend.
Right.
You know? It was for that special recording.
I asked my son about whether, you know, he understood the concept of mixtapes and he just looked at me blankly. It's a thing that's gone. It's gone completely. Nobody makes mixtapes for girls now, apparently.
God, no. No, it's playlists, isn't it?
But I spent an inordinate amount of time making up playlists.
And then writing neatly in the case.
Yeah.
On the sleeve.
And there was everybody had a different idea about, but I like to start with a bit croony.
Oh, yeah.
And then up the tempo a bit, a bit of Fleetwood Mac, something like that.
And get them really moving until they were sopping.
you can't say that.
From a drill to a gush, what I really thought I was a bit of Christopher.
Never mind.
Got to a point where they needed a tap on their head to turn it off.
Reminds me about the story of Stephen Hawking. What did Stephen Hawking get on his IQ test? Just a bit of dribble.
I'm awful. It's terrible. Let's go back to doing the accents.
Okay, let's go back to the ad.
So mixtapes.
Mixtapes.
So, funny enough, I saw a YouTube clip the other day that came up as how I explain mixtapes to my children.
Right.
I didn't watch it. But yeah, it obviously knows I've been watching the Max Allard and threw me these little films.
Ah, okay. Do you think Max Allard didn't were good enough so you didn't have to put the pencil in through one of the holes to rewind the whole thing when it went to shit in your dodgy boombox?
Yeah, I never had to do that. Unless it had been, completely tangled up. But it just basically says we make the better tape for when you want a better recording, didn't it?
Yeah. And it's a fairly simple ad. The branding's a bit recessive, isn't it?
I don't know about that. I think for as long as I've known and can think about that, I've always known it was Maxell.
Right.
So I think the branding's got to be a 4.8.
I wonder do you remember the previous TV ad for Maxell, which was famous?
With the head, with the blowing the guy's hair back.
Blown Away, it was called, yeah. Right. It was the guy sat in a chair listening to The Ride of the Valkyries with his hair streaming backwards.
Funny enough, I only remember the poster for that because it used to be on the back of the face and what have you at the time. And I saw the TV ad for it.
It was a telly ad. It's very minimalistic. 4.8 for brand, really.
Yeah, I think so. Well, unless you come straight at me otherwise. What else could it have been for?
Now, this is where I struggle with the, looking at ads historically. I know that it's Maxell. I know that Me Israelite. I would forever link Me Israelite with Maxell.
So if it wasn't Maxell, who would it have been for?
I don't know. But if you saw that ad for the first time, for instance, then I reckon you'd struggle to name the brand because there's
because the brand doesn't exist anymore.
The brand name, you actually see the brand. I'm not even sure if it's the logo type written in the last board.
Mm.
I think the last board says, I think that's what it says. Yeah, yeah. I need to listen to it on a Maxell tape. But so there's no end.
Fair enough.
There's no end frame. There's no call. There's no call to action.
All right.
It's
4.2.
Handwritten. I'm not asking you to change it. I'm just saying.
Right.
I mean, you could kind of substitute. You think you could substitute it with any other cassette brand, but nobody else was active in the sector from my memory of it.
I mean, who else would you know? As I said, TDK.
TDK.
Yeah.
Good one. Did they advertise TDK?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Anybody else?
TDK, Maxell. And then there was like Woolley's Own,
own brands. Sorry, I'm going to use the power of Google. Okay, cassette tape brands Google. Google says, TDK, congratulations to you. Maxell, that's pretty much. Oh, here we go. Fuji, Sony. What happened to TDK? TDK stopped making cassettes in 2015.
Because the police still use cassette tapes.
Memorex.
Oh, Memorex, yeah.
Yes, the police do. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. A very good friend of mine worked for a company that transcribed police interviews, and they were all done on tape.
It's bizarre, actually. I read the other day a fact about this. They use tapes, and there's a factory or the company that makes them still. They still make something like 500,000 tapes a year for the police.
Really?
Yeah. Or other bands.
What about the casting for that ad?
Casting very good, isn't it?
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very good. I love the way he just sort of nonchalantly looks to his left and right, giving that bit of groove again. So it's a very visual demonstration. But yeah, I think casting was very good.
And then right at the end, he looks, he loses his confidence, doesn't he?
Yeah.
When the board says, at least I think that's
exactly
what it says.
Which is perfect. Because those boards are really like what's on his mind, aren't they?
1989, he didn't see many black faces in commercials either.
No. No, you didn't.
Casting tones?
I think the 4.8.
Woo! Is there any craft in this ad?
I think so, yeah, for sure.
Go on then, what's the craft?
Well, the copywriting for a start. When you listen to those words, I'm sure you don't hear every one of those sentences and every word as they write it on that board.
Sure.
They've had to very carefully do it and write it so you do. So now you won't hear anything else but that. So I think the craft in the writing was excellent.
Well, what about did the director have to do any work in that job?
I would say so, yeah. There's a fair bit of performance needed to be dragged out of him. Casting is going to be 4.3.
Craft?
Oh, sorry, craft, I'm sorry, 4.3.
4.3. Do you reckon they did that in one take?
Yeah.
Couldn't find anything about this at all
online. They've done many, many, many takes. I would say they would probably swap some of the words around on the boards as well, because I don't think that would have been the first set of words they ended up with or the last set. So, and there's no reinserting it. There was no poster or anything done, so it was all done live. So I reckon they would have done lots of takes, but all in one year.
Right. Creativity.
Creativity, that's going to be about 4.9.
Where are we at there? From 16.9, 17.2. That comes in at a very solid 18.2.
That's not bad. We need to line all these up very soon and see.
This is the 24th episode. I'll go back and listen to them all and find out.
Oh, good. That's just a good play count up.
I'll go back and listen to them. We'll do the top 24. Or top 20. Are they the bottom 20s? The bottom ones are more interesting.
So you couldn't have found, you said you found no information on this.
I found absolutely nothing.
There's no like research shows that listeners nothing. Said this is their favourite ad of all time.
Nothing.
No? Okay.
My feeling is that this ad is an industry darling.
Do you reckon?
I think so. I haven't seen anything that suggests that it finds its way into those kind of top 20s.
See, it's hard because I do remember seeing it on TV, or do I?
I don't know, do you? I'm not sure, do I?
1989, I definitely remember seeing it on TV.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I think it's a brilliant ad. The client probably came up with the idea.
When it worked.
I think enough said.
Yeah. It's like, if this doesn't work, it's your idea.
Okay. It was up and down to the research, actually.
Naresh Ramchandani was the guy who came up with the idea, copywriter.
What do you mean? Why, how come the art director didn't come up with the idea?
Well, because they don't, do they, really?
Oh, is that right? Oh. Oh, I see a cat of worms up in here.
Yep.
A cat of worms? Is it a cat of worms?
I kind of like the Skids one. I like the Skids version because I grew up with that song, Into the Valley. Into the Valley.
I don't remember, my dad got his chin. He was quite funny.
So the wrong lyrics for that one began, whose disease is cat skin? My picture is Hugh's toe. Okay, there we go. Everybody's learned something today. We all know what a mondegreen is now.
A mondegreen written by Mrs. Wright, the writer.
There's a bathroom on the right.
Oh, was it on Cars, wasn't it? Who's going to drive that pork pie? Not pork pie. That's what they said. My voice is all right.
Thanks very much, Tones.
Thank you, Stephen.
So there you have it for another week, podlings. Now picture this. Lockdown's over. You're doing the Friday pub quiz with a gang of people from work. One of your team is Philippa from marketing, who you've had the hots for ever since you started working at the abattoir. The quiz goes down to the wire with a final tiebreaker question. Are you finally going to beat the rival team from the Undertakers down the road? A hush descends on the room, broken only by a discreet behind-the-hand belch from Philippa. The quizmaster pushes his spectacles up his nose and says, who or what is a mondegreen? In years to come, your wife will tell your children that your correct answer to that question was when she first realised she was in love with you, which of course was shortly after her boss told her that your dad owned the abattoir and had just been issued with a patent for a new kind of stun gun. Don't ever say that this podcast isn't educational. Thanks for listening. Ta-ra for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.